Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Five Times are on tour again. Fowler, McManaman and McAteer are heading to Dublin and Belfast.
We haven't played in front of a crowd like that for a long while. Obviously, it's on the TV as well.
Yourself, son, how's pre-season Olympiakos, mate?
No, you were there.
Played up front with Suarez, didn't he, in the end?
Couldn't believe, because the kit was that tight.
Doesn't matter, I still play.
Just as quickly skip
what
over.
What do you think anyway, Jason? If you haven't really given your opinion, what do you think?
Well, I don't have to ask the questions, don't I?
Well, you can still have an opinion on what you think Liverpool are like this year. Do you think they're going to win the league and stuff?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
You think they're going to win the league?
No, I don't know if they're going to win the league. I think they've got a real opportunity to win it.
Well, that's what we've said.
Well, that's what I'm just saying. Is this your taxi?
They're at the Academy in Dublin on May the 8th. 24 hours later, they're at the Limelight in Belfast. Your chance to meet them, tickets selling fast. Also on May the 9th, we hold our end-of-season party in Liverpool. John Barnes, Didi Haman and Roy Evans are your hosts on what could be an historic lead-up to the final game of the season. Ticket details online at 5times.co as the Legends Tour continues.
That's it, you see? Comedy goals you've got there.
I'll set them up.
Bang.
Well, we'll start off, I think, fittingly talking about the Hillsborough game that's coming up. 35,000 tickets sold last week when we looked. I think there's walk-ups on the day as well, so hopefully it'll sell out, but that's only round the corner. The lads have got a training session planned for Monday night. I think you're going to be there, Gaffer, aren't you?
Well, that's only right that you are there, and make sure the lads do the little bit. I think what's fantastic about it is that all the players have been asked. There's a lot more who want to come, and everyone who wants to come has been invited to this 25th Hillsborough anniversary. I think it was a great idea, probably because it was mine, that we played, you know, a British Liverpool team or against a foreign one. It means that we can get obviously more players in, and it's a fitting tribute for the 25 years of the things that people have gone through, the families have gone through for so many years, and it's still going on, going as we know. Hopefully soon there'll be an answer to all the questions. But from our point of view, I think it's a great turnout, and I hope it's going to be a great day.
Yeah, and the lads are obviously putting plenty of effort, which you would rightly think so as well, with the trainer session on Monday. I've spoken to Sue this morning, who's sort of organising the ex-players, and she's just read off the list of the lads turning up to train on Monday, and there's about 15, 16 of the lads. Obviously, it's difficult for the European lads to get over at this time of year, but a lot of the British-based players are going to turn up for this training session, so let's hope there's no injuries there, because we're all getting on a little bit.
But it's just good that you get together for a little training session. Together, I mean, it's nothing about tactics and whatever. We all know it's going to be a fun game. It's going to be about, you know, seeing the lads that you've supported for many, many years, all different years. And the response so far, as you say, has been phenomenal from our fans, which obviously we couldn't expect that, but it's so great to give them credit for it.
Well, it should be a great day, and I know that, like I said, the fans are going to turn up in their thousands, and they'll make it a day to remember. I'm sure they will, but another day we're hoping that we can remember for a long, long time comes May the 11th. Do you think we could be having a party? There's plenty of events sort of arranged for around that time, or functions. Could they turn into parties?
Well, hopefully they turn into parties. I mean, I've been absolutely delighted the way the lads have been playing. I mean, it's I think we're going back to September this time. We lost the game. Yeah. Don't put any jinx on it, but at the end of the day, but the attitude they've got, the work ethic, the way they're playing, the intensity about the football, the individual skills, the team skills. We've talked about maybe defensively being a little bit unsure, but even that seems to have got a little bit tighter. I just think they've been absolutely fantastic. I think they deserve to win it, but you don't get it because you deserve to win. You've got to keep on playing, you've got to keep on working, you've got to keep on getting those results right through to the end and make sure they're doing it. But it's no gimme. I mean, we're up against Chelsea, we're up against Manchester City, you know, we're possibly a stronger squad, but we are the team to watch. We are the team that nobody wants to play at this moment in time, and we're going to make sure we keep it that way.
I mean, say to everyone, everyone seems to be so upbeat. I mean, everywhere that I go or people I bump into, even the girl who comes around the house and cleans naked, she even she's even walking around a Liverpool top now. She's an Evertonian.
It won't be for you though.
It's only £12 an hour. It's next to £4. She'll do no closer. Everybody's just so upbeat. I parked my car this morning. The concierge at the hotel was here at the Hilton, and even he's talking about it. And there's a real buzz in the fans. And is that going to play into Liverpool's hands, the players' hands, or is it going to be a bit of a hindrance? Is it putting more pressure on them? Do you feel? No.
But it's no more pressure. In fact, they should give them a huge lift. Yeah. At the game on Saturday, when the game ended, and the lads went to applaud the fans, thanks very much, lads. The roar that came out of court was the first that I've heard for a long, long time. It was absolutely, stunning. You went like the hairs in the back of your head. Right? Yes, it was like the old, great old days where real noise, a roar came out. It wasn't, just a singing and chanting. It was a roar. And it rolled down from the cop, and I thought, that's the way it used to be when Liverpool were lifting trophies. They got a sense, watching this team play, that this could be a big, big year for Liverpool, winning the title again. Of course, nobody wants to preempt. It's a wrong thing to do anyway. But they're playing with such confidence, and, we've got a settled team. First time we've had a settled team for some time. It's week in, week out, as we used to do, name the team. We can name the team, which means everybody's playing well. Nobody's playing badly enough to be, should we play so-and-so this week? And this? Everybody's playing, so they all know their roles, they're all playing. And with Steven Gerrard directing the traffic from this new role of his, since that's happened, we're looking so dangerous. The football's great, excitement is great, and as I say, without jumping the gun, it's there for the lads. If they win every game, it's out of our hands. Out of our hands, but that means that we're going to beat Chelsea and we're going to beat Manchester City. So, it's all there and nail-biting time, but it's a great time to run in.
The players even look as though they're enjoying playing it. And that for me is
that's what I'm saying. There's no, Jason's saying, do you think the nerves? No. You want to get back out there. You want to be in that atmosphere. And they know if they win the games, there's a great chance of them winning the league. But I don't think it should make them nervous. In fact, I think it's always the other way. In fact, come on, let's get out there and show them.
As you don't get just that little bit overconfident, you've got to keep the confidence, but you've got to go and put the work.
The work in.
You don't get away with losing attitude. You've got to have the right attitude, game in, game out.
Nobody fancies playing Liverpool at the moment because the work rate of the team is phenomenal, and if you're playing them, that you're not going to get an easy ride. That they're going to run and run and run. Now, the games that we've had recently, just at times, there's a lot about caution comes in because, as against was Sunderland, we went off the boil for a bit, and you thought, oh, what's happening here? Which was quite natural. The other teams have got to try and get into the game at some stage, and that made everybody a little bit nervous, I think. But we got over that, and then of course,
I think it was an ideal game to get over the Sunderland sort of performance. An ideal game to play Tottenham because I felt that Tim, he needs results to keep that job. He needs that fourth place.
He also needs 11 players. They're the most useless
looking at that performance from Spurs was really poor. But what played into Liverpool's hands was the fact that they needed to come and win. They were very wide and expansive, and that's what Liverpool love playing against, isn't it?
You've got to capitalise on it again. It's like them coming, you can only beat what's in front of you. Liverpool beat them.
But the tactics that come to Anfield with Spurs played into Liverpool's hands because they just exploited the space, which they've been great at all season. But just what I wanted to touch on with you, Gafford, is the same touched on it there with a settled team. It has been a settled team. And if you look at the Liverpool squad over the last probably 6, 7, 8 weeks, it's picked itself really, that squad. Yeah. Now, there's a big thing saying, oh, Liverpool's squad isn't strong enough, it's not this. Obviously, this is suggesting it is strong enough. Is there something in this, or do we read into this when it's not going well? Oh, the squad's not strong enough. Oh, we haven't got enough players. Or because this squad seems to be strong enough, and it's not the biggest.
The league table doesn't lie, does it, exactly, at the end of the day? I mean, well, obviously you're always looking to improve in different positions and different things, but at this moment in time, what we've got is what we've got,
yeah,
and that's good enough to take us to the top of the league. I have to say, Brendan and his backroom staff done a great job. Mm-hmm. I really do think, I mean, from when the first day he came in, everyone's a little bit nervous. You know, has he got the mentality to be a Liverpool manager? He's shown that he has, and he's shown it in a great way. And the nice thing about it, the players look like they're enjoying playing football. Mm-hmm. My last words before every game was, go out and enjoy yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a game of football. Yeah. And if you do that, you end up with good results. So for me, he's got all the aspects.
When they said they want to improve the squad, are they saying they want to improve the players that they've got, or do they want to make the squad bigger?
Well, you know, it's a bit of both, Jason, at the end of the day. I mean, when it comes to, getting to Champions League, you know, that gives you a bit more buying power. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that before. I mean, at this moment in time, what we've got is doing us great things. You know, people like Flanagan, who you thought might be like a standing player, is doing great things. I mean, he's every week he's steady, playing really good football. I mean, you can go through all the lads we know are great players, but at this moment in time, the team is doing what it's supposed to do, playing as a team. And with these top individual players, Suarez, Sturridge, Coutinho, Steven Gerrard, and Sterling, you know, now they're frightening everybody to death.
Yeah, the fact that we've had the same team week in, week out, we've never needed to dip into the pool, never needed to look to the bench, because in my opinion, we do need strength and depth. We need better players to be on that bench.
Yeah,
without a doubt. And you touched on Champions League. If all goes well, we're in the Champions League next year, then we need to add a bit of strength in various departments of top quality players. Because no disrespect to the lads that are on that bench, but you know, watching them from the outside, they for me don't warrant a place in the team week in, week out. But, you know, that is a fact. We need real top quality players coming in, maybe two, maybe three.
Well, of course, you don't buy people just to stick on the bench, do you?
So no, that's what I'm saying.
You're putting the pressure on the lads in the team, and we've got lads who are playing great, but obviously if one or two more in the end of the season makes your squad better, makes it more competitive. And if you're bringing great players in, then your team's going to improve throughout.
I'm just going to say, with Stephen not getting any younger going on to next season, you know, we're going to look for a player as good as him in European football, maybe world football. Now, it's going to cost a lot of money, of course it will, but we've got to get one like him. We see Bayern Munich, you know, with their midfield player, Steinsteiger, what's his name?
Schweinsteiger,
top quality. You look at him and say, yeah, I'd take him. If Stephen wasn't playing, I'd take him. And that's the way we've got to look at this now. We can't go and get job lots as we've done in the past.
Yeah.
You know, three and four players, and you go, who are they? And what can they do for us? And we found out not an awful lot.
Yeah.
So it's got to be selective, this. Quality. It's got to be quality, top-notch players.
Well, that brings me to my next question. I mean, you've mentioned it there with Steven Gerrard getting a little younger. We shouldn't get carried away.
He's not too old yet, by the way.
No,
he's
not.
What
leads me on to is, you know, this season's not just about winning the league, quick fix. It's great, we've cracked it. There's a longevity plan to Brendan Rodgers, and I think it'd be fair to say if he was honest, he'd say we're ahead of schedule. It's been, you know, it's been great this season. If we win it, fantastic. But Champions League football was always the priority. Now, if that comes, then he's done a fantastic job this season. You can't take that away from him. But next season comes a different test for him altogether, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Like you saying, dipping into that market, spending that money on top quality players, which he hasn't had to do. He's bought a lot of potential, which has come good for him, hasn't he?
Some haven't. And to be fair to him, some of the lads who didn't sort of come into the team and make an instant impact, he's had the common sense not to play them. Because, maybe not quite ready yet, and we'll see how this season goes. So sometimes you can buy a player and you think, well, he might be the guy who fixes the team.
Yeah.
But if he isn't, the daft thing is that you're playing because you just got bored and I'm going to play him. So when he doesn't think they've been quite good enough in their debuts and the start of their career, he said, well, just step back and we'll see if you progress maybe next year.
Nothing wrong with that, Roy. Yeah. I think Jordan Henderson's a case in point that was bought actually for decent money, but showed in his first season that he didn't look the part, and in fact the club were looking to offload, let him go out on loan, but they kind of stuck at it and is now beginning to look like a Liverpool player. You know, he's doing the simple thing well, he puts the effort in, and he's holding his place on merit. And that is the thing.
You need
he's in the team on merit now.
You need balanced players, don't you? You can't all be Luis Suarez.
Mm. I was just thinking, if we do have injuries, Lucas has came on for a little, which I thought was a good idea, came on as a substitute, and gave him a little bit of time, quarter an hour or whatever, but at least he's dipping his toe back in the water with the first team again, because with injury he's been out for a while, and I thought, well, that is good. Now him apart, you look at others and you think, well,
Joe Allen,
as a player who was bought, played early on, but we've changed our game, by the way, since Joe Allen came. Joe Allen came and he was a focal point for everything. Give it to Joe, he'll give you a pass 10 yards here, give you a 20 yard pass there. So he's doing that job, and we were playing pretty football, but going nowhere really.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Joe was injured, was out of the team, whatever. But when Brendan restructured and put Steven Gerrard in that role, all of a sudden the game went out, and Steven's getting it and pinging the ball all over the place.
Possession for a purpose rather than keeping
possession.
That's
right. But nobody can see the forward ball at Steven Gerrard. Mm. None of these lads. You could see Lucas and Allen.
None of them can see
that ball. Steven can see it.
Or execute it.
Which speeds the game up. Now, all of a sudden, we went from pedestrian football in the middle of the park to all of a sudden, like a dynamic football.
Yeah.
Playing it forward and bosh, everybody's in. Fullbacks are charging up. Midfield players getting in. And it's been a completely different game.
So with Steven again, it's not just a five-yard forward pass. Sometimes it can be
a 40-yard wonderful pass.
Get somebody in. So that's nice to have the balance of that, which a lot of teams forget to do when they play this possession football.
The possession football is all right if you're four up with 10 minutes to go, you know, and the fans can go, well, I'll get down the pub before the crowds come in. You know, that's great, but, you know.
Yeah, keep it at the right time if there's nothing else on.
Yeah. That's and I don't mind, but what I don't like, and I haven't liked it, is possession football, not just Liverpool. Teams throughout the league, possession football for the sake of possession.
Well, possession football don't win football matches. I mean, it certainly helps you to score goals because you have the ball.
Look at last.
Doesn't win football goals when you football matches.
We watched a game last night: Bayern Munich, Manchester United. Bayern Munich slaughtered United when it comes to stats of possession.
Yeah,
it didn't win the game.
Exactly,
it didn't win the game. You know, so you can have all the possession you want, but as you say, you've got to turn that into goals.
That takes me back to the original question. What I'm trying to say is, how difficult is it going to be for him next season?
Well, I think it always becomes more difficult the season after. If we were to win it, even if we get obviously Champions League, which we think we will at the end of the day, they have to have a really big step up not to. You've got to then make sure that you improve again the next season. And other teams might improve, other teams might spend a lot more money than us. But you've got to try and make sure that there's an improvement in your squad and your team.
You got yourselves to where, if you look at Man United's dominance over that 15 years.
25 years.
Well, yeah. I mean, what you noticed really was he never really changed four or five players, Alex Ferguson, did he? It was always one, like for like, one or maybe two he brought in, didn't he? And the machine just carried on, didn't it? You get yourself to that point now. If we win the league, or if we get Champions League football, Brendan Rodgers is going to make a lot of changes, or can he just go like for like?
No, I don't need a lot of changes.
What I'm trying to say is, has he put himself into that position where Alex Ferguson was, or where you were when you were?
Not quite. We were in Champions League at the end of the day, unfortunately.
Well, he would have been.
But it wasn't.
But going back to the days when you were in the boot room, along with Joe and Bob.
Wholesale changes.
No, you add to your team, and obviously people sometimes have gone a bit older, and some lads are not quite what you wanted them to be. And you try and buy a couple of top players every year in the positions that you need. I mean, Liverpool have done well, and then they brought in Barnes and Beasley. Hey, what a massive thing! It was always the two forwards that had been next year.
might have been Tony Cotty and somebody else, but in the year we wanted two forwards, they were the ones available, and that sometimes, you know, is the help here. But it's, you've just got to change a little bit. What's the, I mean, David, like David Moyes going to Man U, do you change much or not change much, or do you get caught in the middle? You've just got to change a little bit and a little bit. If you're trying to progress, do it slowly.
What I'm trying to say is, if he goes and wins the league, has he put too much pressure on himself?
Well, by the way, what a great press to put yourself, by the way.
That's what I mean.
Come on.
No, what I'm saying is, you see these managers who have, because Liverpool are ahead of schedule at the minute. If you win this title, it'd be fantastic, it'd be brilliant. But there's a longevity plan. And what I'm trying to say is Brendan Rodgers putting too much pressure on himself? Could it cost him his job in the long run? Because his job description changes totally next season.
Yeah, but your job, once you become a Liverpool manager, your job description changes. You go from a club where people say, well, okay, if we can be halfway up the league, whatever. So as you come to Liverpool's and Man United's and Chelsea and Arsenal's, whatever.
Because he's venturing into the unknown again, isn't he?
Expected to win titles.
Yeah.
But to get that as a start of him, then, we've all spoken to Ben, and we all know he's about. He's a level-headed man. He knows where he's at, and he works it out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
He'll know that. Yeah, okay. Once you win it once, people will expect. But expectation at Liverpool is always high, and he'll manage. No, I don't see that being a problem. Yes, people say, okay, if he went from first place down back to seventh or eighth next year, then you'd be going, well, hang on, there's something wrong. But with what
that's
we've
what
got,
I'm trying to say.
If it makes it, we keep all the players that we've got. Hey, Sterling's only going to get better, Henderson's only going to get better, Coutinho's going to get better, as well as
Flanagan,
and then the ones you bring in, that again should keep your team where you want it to be.
Yeah, because we've done well, and apart from the players we were bought, we have had players coming through, young players, and that's been great. They've improved, so I think he will have to buy big. I hope whoever it is, who's in charge of player recruitment, as it's called nowadays?
I don't know.
Who is, do you know, Jason, who's in charge of that? Who's your talent spotter? Who's the guy that's going to go out and say, yeah, right, Jason McAtee, I'm going to sign you, son, because you're the man we need
to Liverpool. I actually like it that we don't know as well, because when we had
a chief scout.
Kenny, chief scout was good because
he wasn't it?
But before that, we were like Kenny with the lab, but Kenny would go out and come down. Actually became about him buying players and not the manager. The guy should be going out and coming back with information to the manager.
Ah, but the manager will always should always have the last say. What's the manager.
Name? He's the one who says he found bail, didn't he?
Yeah.
Who?
The fella who you're on about Gaffer, innit? He come in and
we've got good memories of that.
He was buying all the players, wasn't he? He was the one who found them all.
Camoli, was it?
Camoli.
When he was down at, he was at Tottenham, is that what you're saying?
Holy moly, Camoli.
But again, he's there to source players for the manager. The manager's got to make a final decision. That would be my.
Do you think that was because Kenny was maybe out of the game for so long and then went back in and didn't know the European scene?
And everything, again, is, I mean, you as a manager, you can't be going around being a chief scout trying to find players.
They used to.
No, they find a fear, then you go and watch.
Aye. That's what I'm saying. They used to go watch him,
and
always watch him. They used to say, "Watch him away from home."
And
watch him away from home. And the best twosome, playing away from home rather than on their own pitch.
Yeah. The best twosome we had was Jeff Twentyman.
Yeah, he was great.
And
Jeff.
Bob.
Yeah.
Bob knew a player. Bob was one of the guys who knew a player.
But they would go to games, and as you say, if a man was spotted, and we say, right, we spotted this guy. You know, he's at Bristol City, and you get in the car and go.
Yeah.
You know, from where the City playing next week, so that midweek game up in Yorkshire, up in the car, off they go, have a look at them, and that's what they did. That's part of their job.
Managers do that.
Yeah, not leaving it to some guy who can you trust that knows a footballer?
Yeah.
Well, these guys, I don't know how they get the jobs. Well, they get them and they're in them for so long, and then they get the sack because.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget?
Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Players that they bring into clubs and who's Tottenham, who we played at the weekend, are a great example of how not to run a football club. Yeah. It is. I mean,
it's the same. Yeah.
Well, they buy half a dozen job lot players and of some guy who had got the job, as you say, as a the man who will select
the
talent, talent spotter.
It's
and the worst player in the world.
Spurs, would they be in a better position if the Gareth Bale's at the football club now? Rather than
yeah, of course they would. Yeah. Every team is better if you've got better players.
Yeah.
And that team, but what that team, they were big, useless lumps of lads, big, tall, all big guys.
Yeah,
now,
big lads,
I think that's what they've been looking for. Whoever was doing the selecting, you must be over 6 foot, that kind of thing. And then I think, I wonder what he would do with Barcelona. With all these wee fellas. Yeah, yeah. None of them would be any good for Tottenham.
Well, you've got to be six foot two.
You look at Tottenham at the weekend, and everyone was a big one. Except Lennon. And Lennon.
And Eriksen.
I couldn't believe Lennon. Dickinson. Lennon was on the pitch for 40 minutes, and he got a ball at his feet, and I went, that's that guy, Lennon. That's Lennon. He hadn't touched the ball, as far as I was concerned, in 40 minutes of the game. And he's a so-called England player. They were abysmal. Apart from just being big robots standing around, and I don't know what positions they were doing, just standing around, nobody had a desire to play and have a go at Liverpool. None of them.
There was a couple of little ones. I mean, Rose and Lennon.
Doesn't matter how big your desire is. It's how big your heart is. It's how big your desire is.
Them two.
Well, I just, you know, we've gone back to the business of the select whoever's selecting these players. We've got to make sure that the manager has a good look at them before we take them on.
Yeah, they've got to work in conjunction with each other. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. And
would you have? I said on the telly when I was doing it. If Villas-Boas would have been in charge, I would have thought that game would have been really. I thought it was always going to pan out that way for Liverpool. I thought it was going to be quite an easy game, and it panned out that way. If Villas-Boas was in charge, would you have worried a bit more?
No, I worry that he gets a job in Britain. That's what I worry about. How he gets a job and all these other guys. And they all get jobs and then they end up.
The British coaches don't get them.
British coaches don't get the job. These guys get them. And then they get sacked and then they disappear.
Well, his stats are actually adding up better than Tim's at the minute.
Yeah, but Tim's taking over from Worry, but Tim has actually had no chance to mould his old team.
Some squad.
He's trying, but not players that he probably particularly wants. But you know, when you bought your own players and whatever, then you're responsible for what goes on.
Yeah.
And you know, at this moment, you know, Tim's just taken over. Instant.
Do you think he'll keep the job?
I think it's very difficult because the players aren't doing that on the pitch. I think the lad's a very straightforward lad, but at the end of the day, I mean, you're only as good as what sometimes the effort they put in. And you say they might be big lumps, but they didn't have big hearts, did they?
They've got to be. If he gets a job at the end of the season, they have a clear out a lot of them, and then get his own players in, guys that will play with a bit of heart, play with a bit of fire, and play with a bit of class. But Tottenham always, Tottenham were always a class team. They played great football.
History says that, basically, if it doesn't go well, he'll be out of the job.
He'll be out of the job. Yeah, get another form manager.
They've no patience in anybody, unfortunately.
Right, let's get back to Liverpool and games. And do Liverpool need to win every game?
Yes, I say yes.
I think you've got to believe that you're going to win every game, because that's the only way you're guaranteed to win it.
And hope that City, because if we win every game, it means we beat City, we beat Chelsea.
Yeah.
So that sets them back. Yeah. But City still got a game in hand.
Yeah, 7 games. Yeah, they've got.
So they're the danger. They're the
if you beat them, then you take that.
We take that game away.
Would you fancy the way Liverpool play at home and the way City won't change their tactics?
That'll be a great game.
They won't change their tactics, so it'll be a very open, expansive game.
Great game. Yeah.
Chelsea is a different prospect in it. Mourinho's got all different tactics. He's got different ideas. He can play different systems. Which game do you think is going to be the more difficult?
Chelsea.
One would you like to play to win the league?
Chelsea will come and defend, because that's what he does. Yeah. people talk about him being a great coach about this, that, and that. He's a defensive coach, without a doubt. Yeah. Mourinho's proved that over the years at all the clubs he's been at. But City are an open team, great players, expansive, but they've got defenders that we can get at. And I think I think of Suarez getting into it in, and that big Demichelis in him, you know, we can score goals against them.
You know, the ones that worry, always worry me is that they're the big games. Okay, if you want to win the league, you've got to beat these top teams. If you go back to sort of our sort of time,
we got beat by
the Coventries and
Wimbledon,
little things like that. The little games have got to be ultra careful.
Well, this leads me on to my next question. When you look at the two games, Tottenham and Sunderland, if you were to ask the fans, right, which one would you take, you'd see a victory. You'd probably take some. You'd go for the Sunderland game because they're down.
And yet it was the toughest game.
And yet it was the toughest game of the two. So does that suggest that going to West Ham, which they've done as a favour probably last night because it looks like the safe winner, Monday night, do you think them games are going to be really difficult, West Ham, Norwich and Palace, as opposed to the City and the Chelsea?
You bet your boots are going to be there, because at the end of the day, you know, again, it's just all about attitude. Liverpool's attitude at the moment is great. Even against Sunderland, it started off, got two up, and then you think, well, the game's over.
Swagger was back.
But 2-0 up, and then you go, you get one back, and you go, do you know how difficult it is? Once you've taken your foot off the accelerator, it's so difficult to get back on there.
Yeah.
And Liverpool hung on, and maybe they'll learn from that. Hope they'll learn from that. But when you go down to that, usually say, like, at West Ham, they may be clear now. Well, maybe they might start playing with a little bit more freedom because it's whatever. Okay, that might suit us in many ways, but you've always got to be careful of every game. There's no three. You only get 3 points for beating City. You only get 3 points for beating West Ham. It's just about players' attitudes. I mean, that's one thing I think Brennan's been good on. He's been, since the Southampton thing, he's been on the case, and the lads seem to be on their own case, which is even better. They want to start games quick. They want to get an early lead if they can. Obviously the big games are going to be important. If you can win them two, then we must have great expectation. But don't think that the other three or four games against the West Ham's and
you've both been there, winning titles, and you've obviously been in the situation with six games to go top. What is that secret? What is that thought? What is that process?
You're on the roller coaster. You're on the roller coaster with the confidence is sky high. Everybody is looking forward to the next game. You know, your target is there, but you're playing the team in front of you. You go away with confidence, and you look around the dressing room, and you see your defenders, and you go, these boys can defend. You see your goalkeeper, you go, here. You look at Roger Hunt and Maddy, and you see Roger gets a goal. You know, Peter Thompson will torment people. Cali, you know, will be up and down that wing and crossing balls all day. All that kind of stuff. The confidence within your team is just brilliant. You can't buy that. It's just a brilliant feeling. And then you win and you knock another game off.
And you're self-managing.
You knock another one off.
You're self-managing away, don't you, as a team?
Yeah.
I mean, you go out there because you're saying to me today, don't step up today, let's make sure we all do it together. So you actually do the manager's job in a sense.
You are.
You're on the top of it, but that's where the rewards are in, and that's where confidence is fantastic.
I looked at West Ham on Monday, saw their game Monday, and Andy Carroll scored a goal, which is unusual for Andy Carroll, but he scored a goal with his head, which was what I would call classic. An old-fashioned centre-forward's header. It was a classic.
Classic.
He got up between the two centre-halves and headed it, whoosh, with a forehead, and it was a great goal. And I thought, Andy, if you do that every other week, son, you would really be a player.
Yeah.
But he doesn't, unfortunately, and he's always injured anyway. But we will have to watch him, because our defenders get caught at corner kicks and free kicks. We must, I'm sure Brendan will be saying, look, don't be giving silly free kicks away. You know, don't encourage them to be putting the ball in there for this big fella. And he'll be trying his socks off against us. But that he, for me, is a danger in the sense that crosses, corner kicks, free kicks, Andy Carroll will be a problem at the weekend.
Well, that's where Liverpool have been vulnerable this season.
Yeah,
especially with like Nolan who plays off Andy Carroll, I think it's a danger as well. I mean, that's the way Sam plays with his teams. And by the way, he's been getting a bit of criticism for the down at West Ham.
It's up to him what to do, isn't it?
If he thinks that's the way the team should play, if he gets results.
Well, he's turning it around with him being fit, Andy Carroll being fit,
exactly,
doesn't he?
Yeah. So, but if they're allowed to play any way they want, we've got to make sure that we play how we want and beat them.
Do you think having the consistency at the back, which you spoke about before, having that back five consistency there over the last three or four games. So that certainly helped get clean sheets. And
without a doubt. Without a doubt. And, you know, everybody's just got to, players have been playing, you know, keep their form high and play for it. And West Ham are a poor team as a team. You know, okay, we've got to think about Andy Carroll for high stuff in the box, but as a team, they're a poor team. So if we're playing at all well and buzzing that ball around, whatever, Suarez and Sturridge getting in among them in their penalty area, we'll score goals.
We've always been, West Ham have always been a team that when it comes round to league titles, whether
they've always spoiled the party.
If you're not
United a few times.
So somewhere along the line, you're going to. It's not, you don't put it in a negative thing, but it just makes it's a good warning.
Can Liverpool, if Liverpool went there and got beat, touch wood, they don't. Right. Have they got the mentality to pick themselves up at this stage and come back?
I think we have. I think we've shown that we can and we've shown that we can have that bad game, but whether it would actually take you out of the running for to win it. Possibly it would, because then momentum moves. We've got the team with the momentum at the moment. Okay, Man City are not doing badly, but they're not winning the game. Chelsea lost the game. We're the ones with the momentum. We're the ones that are scoring 3-4 goals against everybody. A loss against the likes of West Ham would be a right kick in the teeth, and you lose that little bit of confidence, and then it's difficult to get back onto that next level again.
During Chelsea. Obviously, Mourinho's talked down the title chances, and he's talked down all season, hasn't he?
They all have, haven't they? I mean, everyone does, don't they?
I know. Is that buying himself a little bit of time because his team's not his team and he's in a bit of transition? Yeah. He doesn't want the fans getting carried away. But do you think he really doesn't really want to? Not that he doesn't really want to win it this season, but he'd rather win the Champions League this year than.
I think it's a bit of both. Isn't it? I think he's getting, you know, putting things on all bases, isn't he? Yeah. End of the day, what if? Yeah. We're doing a great job, but we might not be. Quite there the season. Is he taking a little bit of pressure off his players?
Help Liverpool team in the Champions League stuff?
Well, I think, but again, if you're always trying to give your players a little bit of, take the pressure off them a little bit. You know, Brendan said, well, I don't think we can win it. He said that a few weeks ago. Mm. I'm sure the lads are saying, well, we can win it if we keep playing like we are, but you're always trying to just take a little bit of pressure off as a manager. He's quite good at that, Marino. I mean, you know, he says something outrageous, can't he? That's the way he is. He's good value for what he says sometimes, but. He'll be thinking he can win both if the team play. I mean, he did actually just spoil himself a little bit by being caught out talking about his strikers. Obviously, they're not going to be exactly his favourite mates, are they? Really going to say, yeah?
I mean,
he was right what he said, but I mean, sometimes you've got to make sure that doesn't go to press.
He's always been one for making a statement, though, hasn't he? And dropping players and selling
matter. He'll know this better than me, but anyway, Shanks used to do things like that. He wouldn't say to me, like, Ian St. John's having a bad time, he'd say, Bob, Saints not playing very well, is he? And the Saints would be like, within the end, we would never actually go to you and say, but are you having a bad time? So it's a little bit of the same type of thing. They both have the same, similar type of charisma, it's not even.
The thing about Mourinho, he manipulates the press.
Yeah.
And he gets the press on side with him, and they love all his quotes, this, that, and all. That's why he's going mad and getting caught out about saying that about Samuel Eto'o. You know, he's saying it in a bit of a gag, obviously, but knowing that the guy's passed it. But he's bought him. He brought him to the club again, didn't he? So, you know, he needs Eto'o to be scoring goals for him. Now, I don't think he did it to try and boost, you know, Eto'o's, you know,
obviously not.
Because he hasn't stopped scoring since he said the Isle Man.
Yeah. Well, I laughed at him. I mean, Eto'o was funny when he scored a goal and went to the corner flag. Oh, my back's killing me. You know? And that was very funny.
That was funny,
yes. But Mourinho will manipulate a press. Oh, we can't win it. So, you know, and then, oh, we won that game. Oh, that's not wonderful, you know. But they are still a good team, but they're still vulnerable. John Terry is still at the age he is, and he's been a warrior. Mm-hmm. But he can be got at the back there. Our man Torres, who, as you know, in his prime with us, was a fantastic goal scorer, but has been a shadow of a player down at Chelsea. Shadow. I'm hoping that.
And you wonder why, don't you, man?
Yeah, well,
I mean, Liverpool played to Torres, didn't they? They played around him. He was the focal point. They played around his strengths. With Chelsea, they don't do. They don't play around him.
I mean, they don't. They very rarely put a ball over the top for them. No. But having said that, good players adapt.
Yeah.
And you know, I thought when he was here, he was a great player for us. At the end of the day, but at the end of the day, he's moved on elsewhere and he's been disappointed.
Yeah, but they are beatable. They are beatable, Chelsea.
Yeah.
Well, there's battles going on all over it in the Premier League.
It's the best Premier League we had for a long time, isn't it?
I mean, brilliant.
If you think about last year, if you go all the way over Europe, every team more or less won their league by more than 20 points.
Yeah.
You know, France, Germany, UK, obviously. This year, everything is a little bit tighter. It's a lot more interesting.
Well, there's obviously the battle for the Premier League title. Then, obviously, there's a battle at the bottom. But there's another intriguing battle going on for this fourth place, which we thought we'd be in at the beginning of the season. We'd be in that battle for fourth.
Right. Can I be controversial?
Yeah.
I hope Everton get that.
Well, this is the question.
Massive.
That battle now is obviously looking like Arsenal, who was tipped at winning the title at Christmas. Now they're in a battle with Everton. Do you think Everton can get over the line?
I hope Everton over the line. At the start of our season, you know, I do the radio here at Radio City, and they say, what are we going to look forward to for the season?
Yeah.
I said, well, my wish would be that Everton and Liverpool like knock City and United off their perch and we become back the dominant force again, this City, rather than Manchester. Because for many years it's just been, you know, Manchester with United and then of course City getting all the money and becoming real challengers. And we've been like relegated, as it were, as a city. Liverpool have been relegated as a city with Liverpool and Everton, two great clubs who in the time every year were battling it out for the top titles, and the atmosphere in town was great because the rivalry and the banter and everything else, and that had all sort of died away, you know, because it was hardly worth knocking Everton when they're that bad, you know, don't mock the afflicted. But the way things have worked out now has been great, and I wanted to happen that we would end up there, and if we get in there, which looks highly likely, I want Everton to be in there as well, and that Europa League.
I think they deserve to
play.
It.
Yes,
not Europa League. I hope they get in the Champions League.
I mean, we slaughtered them, but they have their football this year has been very, very
positive.
Good.
Well, you look at two fantastic young managers in Brendan Rodgers and Roberto Martinez. Both were looking at the job at the one time, and obviously Brendan's got it. Roberto Martinez, they've got about their business a little bit differently, maybe because of funds. Has Roberto Martinez, for as well as he's done, has he actually built that? That sandcastle, has that got sustainability, what he's done, all these long players?
A lot of bits, it means obviously Lukaku and long players like that and Barry, it's great, but you take
what
you can.
Two or three others as well.
I'm not sure that we could, you know, people would lend players to us like the same thing, but with Everton they did.
But has that got sustainability, what he's done?
Well, I think
at the end of the season they go back.
Well, yeah, but he may get another two from somewhere else.
Then maybe we'll be able to buy players. Maybe, you know, Bill Kenwright will have to get some money out and try and help them, because at the end of the day, whatever way you want to put it, you keep thinking about what's about next year. This year is what it counts to get Everton where they are at this moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, David Moyes, everyone says David Moyes did a great job at Everton. Yes, he did it in a sense, but this is a more positive Everton than I'm watching the team that that more can get into the Champions League, can maybe win trophies at the end of the day. Because the more progressive they look at it, they're trying to win games rather than hold on. I've always said in my life that I want Liverpool to be number one, and I wouldn't mind Everton being a point behind. I wouldn't mind beating them in every cup final. Because the City.
Except when we play them, I hate them when we play them. The success they've had this season, is that sustainable with the way he's doing it?
Well, because it's sustainable because, again, they get Champions League, there's a lot more finance goes back into the club. I mean, he's proved actually that he can pick a player.
Don't forget Everton are doing a good thing in terms of bringing youth through. Yeah. They've got a very good youth policy there. Yeah. And the kid Barkley has come on the scene.
Would you take Barkley to look?
Oh, you'd take Barkley. No, he wouldn't have come.
Is he your new Steven Gerrard?
Could be. He's a bit early yet in his career.
Why compare him with a bit early? Comparisons are not anything.
Because that's fussy, isn't it? That's what we do.
Yeah, that's what you do. Ross Barkley, isn't it?
I mean, players have crossed the park, as you say.
Yeah, I know you.
Over the years, we've had players going from Reds to the Blues across the park and vice versa. And it could happen that this kid... But I don't know. I mean, if he's a dying and going blue, he might think that, well, you know, he can achieve things.
Robbie with Fowler and I know.
I'm sure Ben Rooney was a Man United family.
It has happened. It has happened before. So you can never tell.
Money rules sometimes.
Money rules. Yes. Yeah. Maybe in his dad's his agent.
I think the nice thing about obviously this time about it, we're in a position that we've not been in for a long, long time. Liverpool, you've got a chance to win the Premiership title, which we haven't won before, which is, seems ridiculous to all of us. It's great times for the fans; they're enjoying it. I'm enjoying the football more than I've enjoyed football for a long time.
I mean, even if it doesn't happen, we've had a fantastic season.
Yeah,
the entertainment's back and it's been brilliant. And,
yeah.
And I think, you know, we shouldn't get too carried away. We don't want to be doom and gloom because it's been a brilliant, brilliant season, hasn't it?
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's been great.
Wonderful. Fantastic. And everybody appreciates that. The hope that, and the fans, you know, who turn up week in, week out, follow the team away from home. It's been, this team has given them real belief,
yeah.
And the football has been great with it. It's not like we're winning games, maybe the West Ham way, if you like. We're winning games with great football, great goals, sparkling play from individuals. And it's just been
a lot
great.
We've got like four or five sparkling individuals. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Studs.
And you need
when
that.
When they're all on song.
You need that in your
that
team.
Could be anyone in the world, couldn't
it? Yeah.
When they're all on song.
Yeah. You need it. You need the great passers, the great dribblers, the great headers, tacklers, you name it.
Yeah.
You know, you need all that in your
all
team.
That balance in your team.
Yeah.
And we've had it.
I mean, David Moyes said, didn't he, before the Bayern Munich game, he said, you know, if we turn up and we all play to our maximum, we can beat anybody.
Yes.
But I think what I see in them is the, you mentioned it before, the lack of heart sometimes, the lack of desire, especially in that derby game, where Liverpool have actually got that in their team, haven't they? Have got the desire.
Moment, the momentum.
The things that should be a given as a footballer, they're all doing it, aren't they?
Yeah.
And then you add the talent on top. Liverpool are the real deal, and they can beat anybody when they're all firing.
Yeah.
Can't they? So I'm going to put you on the spot here. Are we going to do it?
I'm confident.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I hate to say, I'm one of the people that don't like to say things before they happen.
No,
it's like when I go at the National at the weekend about the horse, I won't say they're going to win the race.
So
I will say, I hope it wins the race. So it's the same with the football. I'm just hoping, Jason.
Your heart always says,
keep it going.
Your heart will
always
say they're going to win.
With your head saying it as well.
Your heart's starting, but your head's starting to get in that position. I mean, you still look at setting Chelsea, whatever, but hey, we're in the pole position.
We're in the pole position.
We win all our games. We are the, you know, we can win it. And I said, if they do the same, can win it. But we were at this moment in time are on top. Great.
I don't think there's anywhere better to finish the podcast. Thanks,
on top.
It's been
thank you, Jason.
5 Times are on tour again. Fowler, McManaman, and McAteer are heading to Dublin and Belfast.
We haven't played in front of a crowd like that for a long while. Obviously, it's on the TV as well.
Yourself, son, I was how's pre-season Olympiakos, mate?
No, you were there.
Played up front with Suarez, didn't he, in the end?
Couldn't believe, because the kit was that tight.
Doesn't matter, I still play.
Just to quickly skip
what
over.
What do you think, anyway, Jason? If you haven't really given your opinion, what do you think?
Well, I don't have to ask the questions, don't I?
Well, you can still have an opinion.
You can still have an opinion on what you think Liverpool are like, you're saying. Do you think they're going to win the league and stuff?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
You think they're going to win the league?
And no, I don't know if they're going to win the league. I think they've got a real opportunity to win it.
Well, that's what we've said.
Well, that's what I'm just saying. Is this your taxi?
They're at the Academy in Dublin on May the 8th. 24 hours later, they're at the Limelight in Belfast. Your chance to meet them, tickets selling fast. Also on May the 9th, we hold our end of season party in Liverpool. John Barnes, Diddy Haman and Roy Evans are your hosts on what could be an historic lead up to the final game of the season. Ticket details online at 5times.co as the Legends Tour continues.
That's it, you see? Comedy gold you've got there.
I'll set them up. Bang.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.